one of the most inefficient things in a company and in your life is how you communicate. It's when you communicate. It's in the medium that you're communicating.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode. So today we have Nina Ferraro. We hired her personally at Integrity. I think we were just transitioning from wholesaling into the commercial side of the business. And so Nina is the owner of Boldly & Co. And you might have seen me do a couple of videos on this of like just helping with long-term goals, six-month goals, 30-day goals on all these different wellness categories in your life to really help you live a more holistic, balanced life. It's changed a lot of things for us. I mean, everybody in our company uses a Boldly calendar. And as a leader, it helps us manage the people, not just to their work performance, but help them with their accountability in all aspects of their lives and help them achieve the things that they want to achieve in lives, in their own life, right? So from our perspective, we have a daily huddle every single morning that runs through a scorecard that we were built based on Nina's Boldly systems. Everybody has a 30-day, a six-month, and a 12-month goal. And every day, that 30-day goal, we say yes, no, or not applicable based on what they are. As a team, holding each other accountable, also asking each other what kind of struggles we're going through, what kind of victories we celebrated from yesterday to make sure that we checked off all those boxes. And we're finding a lot out about each other in the process, right? Like, oh, what kind of nourishment are you guys doing? Like Travis is tracking all of his macros and he's a psycho about it. I'm doing some like no garlic, no onion CBO protocols. And like Celia likes to drink, make sure that she's drinking smoothies and shakes. And like, it's just been a really cool team building, like holistic. We're going to win together in business, but we're going to go win together in life and make sure we don't have mental breakdowns, which I'm sure Nina will touch on. So no further ado, thank you, Nina, for being here, and I'll let you have at it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. Hi, everybody. I see some familiar faces on here. I'm going to share my screen because I love a good presentation. All right, so let's get started. So I am, as Stephen mentioned, one of the owners of Boldly & Co. I have an amazing partner. Her name is Mary, but she enjoys staying in the background. So for me, I'm kind of big and loud and love doing presentations and representing our company like this. So let me tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I think being vulnerable and sharing, just as Stephen had mentioned, is one of the most important things that you can bring to your life, into your team, into your company in order to make progress faster. So for me, I live in Wisconsin. I lived a beautiful career in life for 13, 14 years in healthcare technology. What that means is I would help hospital presidents come up with their plan on what did they need to achieve in the next year and how did our technology support them? How did we roll out huge project plans, $100 million projects? How did we get 100 people on board and all be working towards the same thing? While I was in that career, the expectation was that you're working 80 hours a week, you're traveling to wherever your clients are at, and it's extremely high stress. If you make a mistake on the technology, you're risking a patient's life. So this was kind of the level of stress that we always operated in within this role. And I got to a point in this career where I thought, I'm so stressed, I'm constantly in fight or flight mode. And I would ask my leaders, can you help me? Like, I need help. I need to continue achieving at this level, but I feel like I'm going to have a breakdown. And the response was always like, you'll figure it out. You're capable. You're smart. You can do it. Work harder. And not a single person, and remember, I'm working here with hospital presidents, right? A lot of them are former practicing MDs, just like extremely accomplished people. How come no one could tell me how to continue achieving and being productive, but without taking away from my well-being? The answer of work harder was not good enough. So what I did was I spent several years researching productivity and well-being and how to be better because I wanted to be better. I wanted to do better. So I created a system for myself And I saw that instantly when I would put this system into place that I got more done in less time. I was healthier. I was happier. I was just a fulfilled person. And right around that time when I was kind of getting all this in order, I was promoted to the leader of my consultancy's team. So we had several practices within our consultancy. I led one of those practices. When I started on this team, I had 24 team members that I was working with or overseeing. And I knew that 8 of them were looking for new jobs. There were 16 to 20 that were actively engaged, disengaged, right? That means like they don't care if they have a job or not. If they get fired, they'd be fine with that. I mean, that was like the mentality of the people that I was working with. And I thought, well, maybe this is just our industry. Maybe this is just healthcare tech. Maybe this is just our company, right? Our company had some toxic traits to it within the leadership. Then I did more research and I realized, no, this is like everywhere within the US. You have 70 to 80% of employees that are disengaged or actively disengaged, no matter what industry you're in, no matter where you go. And 35% typically are looking for a new job. Now, if you're in a leadership position or you run your company or run your life or whatever, like a lot of leadership people say, well, my company's good, but their people are silently or quietly suffering and not sharing this. So it was my goal to say, I've got to turn this around. Like I was able to create this kind of like productivity and well-being system just for myself, but now I'm going to share this with my team. Because who wants to come to work and be unhappy or see their team be unhappy with their life or not getting enough done or feeling like they're failing at work? So I kind of refined the system that I had created for myself. And when I brought it to my team, this is what happened in 2 years. We went from 24 people to 130, and we reduced attrition, right? So someone leaving on their own accord, from 22% to 4%.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what this is telling you is we grew by 5.5 times our size, and basically no one wanted to leave. Now, in healthcare tech, you have to understand people are not loyal to a company. They're loyal to the dollars. You can command major raises all the time. You can do contract work instead of W-2. It's not a bad thing to bounce around. You're just moving from one contract to the next. So I would have people come to me and say, Nina, just so you know, I was offered 30,000 more, 40,000 more at this other company to take on this contract. And I didn't take it because I feel loyal to you, right? That speaks volumes as to what this system does. Because, and I'll share with you what that system is shortly, but it really pours into a person. And when I look at these results, I tried to figure out what are like the main things that contributed to this. And essentially it was hire the right people, not just any people, right? That also meant letting people go that were not the right fit for the team, but it was hiring the right people. Then when you have the right people, it's maximizing each person. It's not just maximizing them with professional skills, it's with soft skills. It's with helping them lead the life that they want to live. They're giving you 40, 50, 60 hours of their week. That's your responsibility, from my perspective, that you pour into them with everything you can. And then the third piece here is probably one of the most neglected, but it's making sure that well-being is at the forefront. It's not just a gym membership. It's not a percentage off. It's not even reduced healthcare costs. It's how are you actively talking about, is my team well? If your team's not well, if you're sick, if you're mentally unwell, if you're stressed all the time, how are you going to possibly operate at your peak level at work as an individual, as a team, as a company? So it's this combination that makes it all work. And by the way, this combination is not easy. I'm not here to tell you like, oh, you just magically make this all happen with one little trick. This is effort and time and knowledge that has to come from the leadership and be poured into everyone else. It means the leadership has to initially work harder so that this can be experienced by everyone in the company. It then lets leadership sit back and have life be a little bit simpler. So with that said, I want to just quickly walk you through. We have a four-step system. This is something that I'm going to just cover at a very high level. But the first part of the four-part system is that you need to know where you're going. When I say this, this is not just as a company. This is as individual people within your team. So for example, as a company, right, you need to know your vision. You need to know your goals. You need to know your milestones for the next 90 days. A lot of times leadership knows that, but does an individual team understand that? Does an individual understand that? Do they know how they contribute to that? There can be no assumptions here, right? Like, I think a lot of us here are real estate investors. I'm also a real estate investor. When you create a scope of work for somebody, the goal is that you leave no assumptions. Everything is very crystal clear, right? That's the same for this. The other piece of knowing where you're going is that you're also interested in this for an individual. So let's say you have five people on your team. You should know for each individual, what are their personal goals? What do they want for their life? How are you helping them get the skills for that in their current job with your company? A lot of times I would have people on my team say, Nina, I actually want to do something entirely different. I want to stray from healthcare technology. I want to be in a totally different industry one day. Cool. That's awesome. How do I help you get the skills in this job so you can do that? That was my mentality. What that builds is an extreme amount of loyalty. Someone goes, Nina's got my back. Nina sees me as a human, not just somebody who works for the company. Does that make sense? Okay. The second piece of the system is that you're working on the right things in the right ways. So when I was working with Stephen's company, Integrity Holdings Group, this is what we talked a lot about. We talked about tools and methods to understand if you have these goals or you have this vision, how are we making sure that you're actually working on the right things? So it's making sure that you have a very detailed project plan and that you're working on the things that are of the greatest importance. What a lot of people do is they work on anything and feel that if they're busy, then they're really contributing. But what our system does is show you a method to say, what should you actually be working on? Because you spent all this time coming up with vision and goals and milestones and all these things. Are you actually working on those? And what this also means is understanding how to plan your day, your hours, your week. It's a very methodical system that we teach our customers, but I can promise it is life-changing. It's usually the thing that our customers resist the most because they don't even want to tell themselves like what to do. Like they're like, no one else is going to tell me what to do. And they don't even want to tell themselves what to do. But we're all really smart people here and you're here for a reason and you've got to have a plan. Otherwise, you're just reacting all day. The next piece of the system is your communication has to be productive, right? So we talked about vision, goals, milestones, project plan, knowing how to plan your day. But one of the most inefficient things in a company and in your life is how you communicate. It's when you communicate. It's in the mode that or medium that you're communicating. So Stephen had mentioned like having weekly meetings where they're diving into all these things regularly. And what I see a lot of companies do is they go, I don't have time for a meeting. And it's like, well, you have to make time for the right meeting where you're talking about the right things and you're really engaging and helping one another as a team. So that communication piece is really critical. The last piece, right? And I talked about this earlier. This is the piece that gets neglected. But you have to have an emphasis for yourself and for your team, for your company, that you are healthy and whole. This doesn't just mean working out. Or pie here, we call it movement. This isn't just about nutrition. This is about your mental wellness. This is about your sleep and restoration. This is about your spirituality if you are a spiritual person or you're a religious person. There's a whole pie that we teach and emphasize because you have a whole life. And guess what? If you're not happy and healthy in your life, how are you ever going to be like operate at your best in your business or in your job or in your role or in your family? So here is why your team, that seems a little bit direct, but here's why I'll say most teams are not productive. By the way, to me, what I teach is how to be productive, how to operate a peak level all the time in your life. And I just talked about the system that gets you there. But why are most companies not productive? The first reason is they don't have a productivity strategy. People don't even think about this. People don't think about having a proper plan. People don't think about their time. We always hear people talk about, like, why don't schools teach financial literacy? Why don't they teach planning? Why don't they teach about time? Why don't they teach about efficiency? It's kind of like, well, hope you're good at it. If you're not, good luck in the world. And we can't figure out why we're like floundering and flailing. And like I said, I went to hospital leadership, doctors, psychologists, like all these people like who are very successful in their career. I'd say, help me be more efficient. Help me do better because I can't keep operating like this. And their response was, just work harder. You'll figure it out. So even top executives and leadership don't think about a productivity strategy for themselves, for their teams, for their organizations. So if you can figure this out, if you can get help with this, you are at a whole other level that allows your company to take off. The second piece of this, there is often, from a leadership perspective, not a true investment in maximizing team members, right? It's kind of like, hey, I hired the right person. They can go figure it out. 100%, your people should be resourceful. But that is your job to pour into your people. It's to properly train them. It's to properly transition them. It's to know their life. It's to know their goals. It's to make sure that you're helping them, not just with technical skills, but with soft skills. This is where a lot of leaders go, I don't have time for this. And then they can't figure out why there's this like repetitive failure in different areas of their company. This is why. They can't figure out why people aren't loyal. They can't figure out why people are leaving. Well, from their perspective, you're not being loyal to them. They're dedicating their life to your business. And you giving them a job is not enough. It's not how it works these days. So we kind of have to get into 2021 and know that this is the way. When you don't maximize your employees and don't think about their health and their soft skills, this is the end result. I didn't just like make this up, okay, guys? Like when we all probably have experienced this ourselves. I know I experienced major burnout many times in my life, panic attacks, insomnia, right? Because I'm thinking about, like, I'm so stressed about work. Migraines. Once you start getting migraines, a lot of times they live with you for the rest of your life. So you can be like, wow, I really solved this problem. You're stuck with a lot of these health issues sometimes. That's our goal, is to not experience this. The next piece is, so what happens when your people leave or they're dissatisfied with your company or your leadership? We all know it's expensive to replace somebody. We all kind of go, oh, we know it's expensive, but how expensive is it? I mean, I know some studies that say it's actually quite higher than this. But you're spending time away from your business, your strategy, the growth of your company, because now you have to fill in for somebody else, or other people on your team have to fill in for the person that left. You have to search for somebody new. Wouldn't you rather pour into the team that you have and treat them well and treat them right and help them be the best that they can be in their life and your company? So that you can avoid this. This has got to be one of the most frustrating things within a company. So here's what we do when we come in. We have a 90-day process now when we work with companies. We come in, we get to know your team. We set you through a productivity boot camp. It's 90 days long, where we go through the creation of the vision, your goals, making sure people know how to connect and communicate, that you have a project plan, that you understand how to actually implement that project plan on a daily basis, and that your behaviors and mindset reflect your best you. And then from there, we hold you accountable. This is the biggest thing is I can come in and teach productivity and well-being and how to make that part of your culture, culture by design. I can do that all day long. It's the piece is that we always want to go back to what's easy. And this isn't easy, but it's worth it. So that's kind of why step three comes into place is that we do continuous productivity, coaching, accountability, and make sure that this is something that your team can see as something that's sustainable. Now, here's the results. To me, I think a lot of times when I talk about this stuff, people go, okay, like this feels good and it's soft and nice, but there are real results. And I mean, I can tell you all day long about my results and the results that we've had with other companies, but this is what happens, okay? So if you see all these words popping up, right? You have better focus, better health, collaboration, productivity, on and on and on. But here are some of the metrics, okay? So when you have a team that feels balanced between work and life, they become 2 times happier. So someone might be like, okay, who cares? Great, we're happy, cool. But when you have happy employees, you see greater performance. People are happy in their life. They're well rested, they're healthy, they feel good, they bring that energy into the workplace, they bring that energy into their work. And when someone's engaged, this much more likely to stay. And then we know the end result of that, right? If somebody stays and they don't leave, then your company can keep operating and firing on all cylinders. So there you go, guys. That's kind of my company in a nutshell. And I could probably talk for hours about this, but I won't. But if you want to know more, if any of this was of interest to you, if it got you fired up, if it's exciting, please come visit our website. It's boldlyandco.com, or you can just email me directly. I'm at nina@boldlyandco.com.
Awesome. So good. All right. So quick testimony for us. I think when I met Nina, actually, I couldn't sit down. Is that right?
That's right. You had back and you couldn't sit down at the table for like 2 days when we went through this.
Yeah. So I hurt my back about a year and a half ago where I was told that I'd slipped a disc and I had MRIs and they were talking about surgery and all this stuff. And through some prayer and through some like soul searching, I found that we hired Nina to come in because we were all stressed out. Like we were super stressed out because we didn't know where we were going. We didn't have a real plan. We went from switch. I mean, we did this massive switch from residential into commercial real estate. We burned the boats, right? We went from flipping hundreds of houses a year till none and fired everybody. And it was a stressful time in the business. Turns out that high level of stress is a pretty unique indicator of how stressed out you are, right? So like that, my back injury was intrinsically tied to that, right? And there's a great book called Healing Your Lower Back, and it's by some guy. I'll post it in here. But anyway, back pain and neck pain is uniquely individual to the United States. Other people have it show up in other parts of their body around the world, but this level of stress that we create in our culture, in our capitalistic culture, you can see it, right? So I was told I'd never play any sports again. I wouldn't be able to run again, all that stuff, right? By these doctors who like have seen these back injuries. Well, I just played 18 on Sunday and I play tennis every Monday and I have 3 kids that I throw around. And I attribute this very much to figuring out how to have a more balanced, productive work-life schedule. And this has helped, I mean, you heard me say it before, this has helped me and my team. And then talk about pulling stuff out of people, right? Like, for those of you who don't know, Celia, who runs $42 million of equities for other people's money, was hired as a lead manager position with IHG when we were doing wholesale deals, right? So she would answer the phone and she would set the appointment for the acquisition person. You want to talk about growth and like extreme like focus and just really pulling and getting the most out of your people. Like this is, I've never seen such exponential growth from myself, from my team, anywhere else. And it's because we were just intentional, right? About doing this stuff. And we stay intentional about doing it. And then we hold each other accountable to doing it. So it's been about probably 2.5 years since Nina came to see us. And we get a new Boldly calendar every 6 months. We stay in touch with her to come and do other extra consultations for us after she came and flew out and locked ourselves in a room for 2 days with Nina. But you know, we've been talking about a lot of these productivity hacks and like some of these life things. And it's like, for me, if you guys know me, I'm the visionary, right? I have a zero rule orientation on the culture index, predictive index. Like, I am hard to manage. It's like herding cats. I don't write things down. I don't follow processes. Like, I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to that. What I found is that was creating a lot of stress in my life because I was that way, right? So now I get to use this calendar and her system to prioritize the things that as a leader, I know I need to get done on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. It has changed our business dynamic, and Celia can chime in if she'd like, but by doing stuff like this, like, it really does create such a tighter culture and community that I would never be able to have created myself, right? I'm nice. People like me. They want to work for me, but this is so much more, right? So much deeper than I would have naturally gone on my own. And it's intentional and it's been awesome. So if you don't mind, you know, just if anybody has any questions kind of about the process or just in general productivity questions or different metrics that you guys are measuring or cultural things, like, feel free. We have her, I think, for another 20 minutes.
I have a question. Hey, Nina, thanks so much. Great presentation. When you're working with a large organization, like you said, you came from big healthcare technology space. Your organization went from a handful to over 100 very quickly. So when you're working with a larger organization that is, say, even 30, 40, particularly 100, how much of your coaching is focused on the senior leadership versus the entire, the different levels, middle management, all the way down through that?
Yeah. So I typically always start with the senior leadership. If they're not on board and they're unable to like dedicate themselves to this kind of culture by design, then it will not be effective throughout the rest of the organization or that team, if that's a large team that you're describing. So I think I've seen this a lot in my career, in that you can have team members on board if their people leader isn't sticking true to the plan. It doesn't matter sometimes how the rest of the team then tries to operate. So the leader will kind of get everybody off track or hold everybody on track. So I always start with the senior leadership. They have to be on board. If they're not, I will not continue the engagement because it won't work.
So I quit my corporate job about a year and a half ago, and I was the most scatterbrained person ever. I was in sales. Every day I had a manager tell me what to do. I didn't have to manage my time or calendar. Someone was telling me what to do. And my gracious wife helped me organize my life and go through. I've been using about a year now the Passion Planner, and I've loved it. And I heard about what you guys done through Steve and his team recently. And for the past 3 weeks, I've been doing the printouts. Kind of just wanted to try it and get a feel for it before I committed to it. And I could just say with complete confidence, it is absolutely a billion times better than any other planner I've ever used. Even the Passion Planner, as effective as it's been for my personal life and my business, just going through the actual time to sit down, and it does take a little time to map out a year, 6 months, 9 days, 30 days, breaking it down to the daily habits you're doing to get to your long-term goals, has helped me change my daily goals. I thought my daily goals were awesome. I was doing good things. Well, I realized just that your product you've created that I'm able to do better things now. So I just really appreciate the hard work you've put into creating such a wonderful product.
Thank you. That means very much to me. Thank you so much. I'm glad that it's working.
Yeah. And you know, what was interesting for us is I would always fill my day, right? I'd always be busy with things. And what I never realized was, like, Nina has this priority, urgent, delegate, and everything else. So like, those are the four categories now that everything that's actionable falls into those buckets, right? So I recently hired an executive assistant that's now triaging my email. So my emails are now those four buckets. So they read through all my emails. They put those into those buckets based on my quarterly rocks that I let them know. Sometimes it's in the wrong bucket, but not a huge deal. And then on my calendar, I just have 20 minutes. Go through those buckets and see what's actionable, what's not actionable. Once it's done, it goes into a completed email label. I've probably cut 6 hours a week out of reading email, right? For a VA that costs $500 a month, to triage all of those things into actionable items into those four buckets. And I mean, it's just so much more productive. And now everything that comes at me, this doesn't check the priority bucket, then it's not getting done right now, right? My priorities are going to get done. And I'm going to fill my time with things that are moving the needle versus just fill my time with things. And I think as business owners, I forget what book it was written in, but it said, when people come in, they come in with a monkey, they throw that monkey on your desk. And if you let them leave without taking that monkey, they've come and dumped it on you, right? So like as a business owner, part of your job is to make sure that they take the monkey back out. Like, hey, you're leaving with this. Like, you don't leave this here, right? And if you think about your teams over the past couple of days or weeks or whatever, I'm positive that somebody came in and said, hey, you know, I'm having this problem with this. And then you took the monkey and you solved for the problem, right? But that sucks your time up and it took you away from your priority to do whatever for that moment. And this has been hugely helpful for me to not get bogged down in helping people and stuff that's not my priority for that week. And it takes about 30 minutes at the beginning of the week, before the week starts, for me to really lay out like exactly what I'm trying to do to get the needle moved. So that has been a huge thing. And then the other thing that I'll share with you guys real quick is the communication that Nina was talking about before. Like, are you communicating in an effective way to your team? Well, after Nina left, Sean wrote this communication policy, right? So we have different modalities of communicating with our team, as if it's Asana, phone, email, Voxer, text. Like text, you don't get a text from me unless it's like, hey, you want to go out for a drink, right? Like, we're not texting each other unless it's personal. We have business modalities, and then we categorize every communication with these four things. So in our Asana, if I open up my Asana, you'll see P/, and then the expectation. Is it a action? So P/A is priority action. P/R, priority request. P/I, priority information. Or urgent, delegate, whatever, right? So our whole team communicates like this now. And it makes it very clear and very efficient, because depending on who the audience is, this is how you communicate. So now all of us communicate on the same page all the time, me being the exception, because I always Voxer somebody and then I go, oh, that was priority action. But I'm still doing it, right? And my team still knows, like, is that a, like, when do you want that done by? Well, if it was priority, I want done first. If it was everything else, I want done last. So
if you ever get like an email from somebody and you're like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, there's no expectation. There's no understanding of importance. There's no understanding of how they want you involved. So there's all this extra communication back and forth to figure those things out, or hope you get them figured out. They should just belong in the initial communication from the start. So,
and it creates productivity drag, right? And productivity drag in your business costs you money, time, effort, energy, and headspace. Once it's done, it's done. So if you guys run a business and you haven't hired Nina, and you don't, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. This wasn't supposed to be like a Nina pitch, but she has changed the way that we do business. And if you're about to scale your business, like, we're going from, we just raised $40 million in the last 2.5 years. I expect to raise $250 million over the next 36 months. You can't scale without something like this in place, in my opinion, right? It's too messy.
Chris, I used to talk a lot about time, right? Like, that's the obvious connection when you talk about productivity. But what I started to talk more about now is energy. Like, where is your energy? Does someone give you energy, suck your energy? Does an activity give you energy or suck all your energy? Like, so I think that's a really good point, is you want to set yourself up to have just the best energy possible. So
yeah, I don't remember what book it was. The one thing, I think it was a different book, but it talked about doing the brain dump on every task that's possibly floating around in your head, and then prioritizing them and then checking those off. I remember doing that and just feeling so free afterwards and like.
Yeah. When you're spending your brain energy, that's how I call it, your brain energy on trying to remember something, what it's doing is taking away that energy that could be used for strategy or creativity, or I don't know, taking a rest for a second.
Yeah. And I think at one of our meetings, we talked about this, like, focus is better than intelligence. Well, this helps you get really focused. Yeah. And like those brain dumps, like, I just implemented this stuff with my wife, right? So like in our priorities, what that correlates to is the three big decisions that we have to make for the business every week. So Travis and I are going to meet, three big decisions. What are they going to be? And that has to get done that week to move the needle, right? Are we hiring somebody? Are we firing somebody? Like, what's the big decision? And then I just talked to my wife about it. I said, we should do that here too, right? Like three big decisions, one for our marriage, one for our kids, one for our house, because we just moved into a new house and I have all these projects. But what do? We talk about all the projects in an ethereal way and nothing ever happens. Right. So this week I was like, we have to get a bathroom designed, right? That's what we're going to do this week. And then the next step would be ordering materials, but it creates overwhelm. Like for me, I'm walking through the house and I'm seeing the stuff that I want to get done and I'm making these mental check marks and it's taking up brain space. It's creating stress in my life without me even thinking that it is, right? And that's what this stuff really helps with is, okay, this is a priority task. And once you get it done and you check it off, it moves, your next thing can get done. That's a priority task. So it really has changed. I mean, just the whole way our business operates. Anybody else have anything for Nina before we let her go? No, going once. Cool. So we will send out this recording, obviously, and then we'll send, I think everybody should have Nina's contact info, but if not, Celia can make sure that everybody has her contact information. If you want, just what do? Nina, you do Zoom consultations, you do in-state, like in-room, in-office type things. What else do you guys do?
Yeah. So we initially start with like a Zoom consultation and then we will kind of custom design some of that 90-day three-step process and share with what that would look like for the person. There's a lot of people though that come to us and say, I don't need the whole 90-day process. I just need like one piece. And so we can make suggestions based off that. And we do as much as we can virtually, but depending on how many people or how large the team is, there are exceptions where we go and fly out and see someone in person.
The word about Nina is getting out. I'm helping because I think it's amazing. But that being said, as the word gets out, her price will go up, right? So you would want to call her soon. Cool. All right, everybody. Cool. Enjoy the weekend. We'll check you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.